Hello, it's Friday, August 27th, and this is the Tantramar Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Meg Cunningham. Here's what's coming up today. Tomorrow night is movie night at Dorchester School, where they will be screening Tim Burton's Big Fish for free. Dominique LeBlanc responded to his Deface campaign sign, which has now been replaced. Strutt's Gallery is looking for an artist to design and build a float for Sackville's Fall Fair. 14 new cases of COVID-19 have been categorized as community transmission. And Erica Butler brings us to the shores of Johnson's Creek in Moncton, where the Fort Folly Habitat Recovery Team, along with friends from the Petitcodiac Watershed Alliance, spent an afternoon cleaning up a dump site full of plastics and other trash. During the province's live COVID-19 update yesterday, Deputy Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Kristen Mukeki, urged all New Brunswickers to keep wearing their masks, but leadership has made no indication that the mask mandate will return anytime soon. This is despite 14 recently diagnosed cases of COVID-19 being labeled as community transmission, meaning public health couldn't trace the source of the illness to any known chain of infection. 13 of those cases of community transmission are in Zone 1, the Moncton region.
Given our current case numbers and all the evidence of community spread, I urge all New Brunswickers to continue to wear a mask when they are in indoor public spaces. It is true that masks are not currently required by law as they were earlier in the pandemic. But remember, we're dealing with a communicable disease that can and will spread quickly among the unprotected. If you want to protect yourself and your family against COVID-19, your best option is to get vaccinated. If that is not your choice or that option is not available to you, my advice is that you continue to wear a mask and limit your contacts as much as possible. To stop the spread of a communicable disease like COVID-19, it is important that we're able to apply multiple layers of protection to slow the spread of the virus.
Over 1,000 New Brunswickers are currently self-isolating by order of public health across multiple health zones. Dr. Mukeki alluded to complications during contact tracing due to resistance from those being contacted and asked for patience.
If a public health representative or team member contacts you, please answer your phone, be respectful, respond frankly and with politeness to the questions posed, and follow the directives that are given to you. Isolation of those who are infected or could be infected remains a key element in our strategy to limit the spread of COVID-19. Please note that public health directives will depend in part on each person's vaccination status. Unvaccinated or not fully vaccinated people exposed to the virus will have more restrictions placed on them than vaccinated people who are in the same situation. Currently, there are more than 1,000 New Brunswickers who have isolated themselves to help us limit the spread of this disease.
With school just around the corner, Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd tells worried parents that the best way to protect their children under 12 is by getting vaccinated themselves.
Over the past few weeks, an average of 6,000 New Brunswickers have booked an appointment. But this week, that number has jumped to around 8,000 appointments. As we head into the fall, I'm hopeful that even more people will choose to get vaccinated. We know that this is absolutely the best tool we have to protect ourselves and our loved ones. The new school year begins soon, and as Minister Carty announced last week, we have a plan in place that will allow students to have as close a normal school experience as possible. I want to ask parents to do their part to ensure the school year goes smoothly. That means ensuring you and any adults in the household are fully vaccinated. And if you have children who are 12 and older, including children who will be turning 12 before the end of 2021, Please book an appointment to have them vaccinated if you have not already done so. As of today, 59.4% of youth aged 12 to 19 have been fully vaccinated, and 73.8% have received their first dose. We are on the right track, but we hope to see those numbers continue to rise in the weeks ahead.
As for the daily case numbers, 4 New Brunswickers are in the hospital with COVID-19 as of today, and none of them are in intensive care units. The province did not clarify whether the people currently in the hospital were vaccinated or not, how old they are, or which health zones they're from. There are 8 new cases in the province, 6 of them in Zone 1, the Moncton region. There's also another exposure notification released for Zone 1, with one of the most specific timeframes ever provided by public health. Somebody who may have been infectious with COVID-19 was in the Moncton City Hospital emergency room on Monday, August 24th, between 5:47 p.m. and 3:52 a.m. If you were there during that time, you can book a COVID-19 test even if you don't have any symptoms online. The other 2 new cases are travel-related cases in Zone 3, the Fredericton region. This Saturday night, locals can head to Dorchester School to enjoy a free screening of Big Fish, directed by Tim Burton. The only thing you have to bring is a lawn chair. There will be free popcorn and bug spray available for moviegoers. The show starts at 8 p.m. behind the school. Someone defaced a campaign sign for federal Liberal candidate Dominique LeBlanc on Main Street near the ramp to Highway 2. The large campaign sign was spray-painted with a swastika, or an attempt at one, it was backwards, and a message reading, COVID Nazi. The hyperbolic historical comparison is not the first on Sackville streets. Posters have appeared recently in town comparing Mount Allison's mandatory vaccination or testing policy to racial segregation politics, once the norm in parts of the U.S. and Canada. Dominique LeBlanc posted a response to the vandalism on social media Tuesday, calling it despicable and a display of hate and intolerance. The sign has since been replaced. Strutt's Gallery has some unspent cash since they were unable to hire artists in residence this year, and new director Paul Henderson has decided to put the funds towards a fall fair parade float. He's looking for an artist to take on the task of conceptualizing and building a one-of-a-kind float that will be driven down Sackville streets. The artist will be given creative liberty to build a moving sculpture or performance of sorts, with funds to cover their time and supplies. Strutt's will provide a trailer to pull the masterpiece. Henderson says he hopes the float will help strengthen the relationship between Strutt's and the town of Sackville. Here's Paul with more.
We're in a pretty interesting position right now, in that we do have some, our budget is pretty good for artist projects right now, because we haven't been able to sort of spend as much as we normally do because of COVID. So now that we're opening up, we've got a bit of flexibility in the budget. So this seemed like an interesting way to kind of engage with our local community and offer sort of a regional artist an opportunity to do something sort of outside the usual realms of even sort of off-site projects or definitely gallery projects. Mm-hmm. And it's also a way, like, I think a lot of nonprofits and arts organizations, I think sort of engaging in that broader Sackville community is a thing that we don't always do. And I just, it's also what, like, to be present in the community in the, you know, in a way that, we maybe normally don't. We just sort of, like, you know, we're here and we're, you know, participating, in the broader sort of mainstream community culture. I think that's, it's good to support, especially kind of coming again, also coming out of COVID to, like, you know, we're still here and we're excited and kind of want to be out and about and create some new partnerships and just like have an opportunity to gather. If anybody's on the fence, I think it's like I'm very happy to kind of consult and like walk through an idea or like discuss sort of the trailer sizes or vehicle, towing vehicles, all this kind of stuff. Like I'm happy to sort of help do that before a proposal is submitted. I'm happy to kind of chat things out with people.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a, you know, there's a, it's a lot of problem solving in a, you know, I'm just looking outside and thinking about Sackville's wind or how the, you know, the weather or what the weather's like, all that kind of stuff. So having done maybe nothing quite on this scale, but a lot of, helped a lot of artists produce, you know, offsite physical work and things. So I have a pretty good grasp on some of the resources, human and otherwise, in town that might be able to help or those kinds of things. Kind of take it as a challenge for ourselves here too, you know, to like, all right, once the project is selected, like.
That was Paul Henderson of Strutt's Gallery. Float proposals are due by this Monday, August 30th. And finally today on Tanchamar Report, we take a trip to the shores of Johnson's Creek in Moncton, where the Fort Folly Habitat Recovery Team, along with friends from the Petitcodiac Watershed Alliance, spent an afternoon cleaning up a dump site full of plastics and other trash. The site was under a bridge over the creek between the Université de Moncton and Highway 15. Fort Folly Habitat Recovery has been cleaning up illegal dump sites through the Petitcodiac Watershed with funding from the New Brunswick Environmental Trust Fund. Erica Butler stopped by on a hot August day to check in on the cleanup.
Hi, I'm Sam Rogers. So I work with species at risk. So I'm sort of a biologist. I took a Bachelor of Environmental and Natural Resources at the University of New Brunswick. So I was a summer student with Fort Folly in 2017, 2019, and then full-time starting in 2020.
And so this year today is part of, a number of site cleanups that Fort Folly is doing this summer?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we were funded by the Environmental Trust Fund of New Brunswick, and we partnered with Eco360, and today we have Petitcodiac Watershed Alliance with us, and we're just doing cleanups around the Petitcodiac Watershed and some in the Memram Cook as well. So this is more of an urban setting, as you'd said earlier, but usually we spend our time out in the woods or like closer to creeks that we're more familiar with down the Salisbury area. And this morning we were out in the Pacific Junction area, and
Okay. All right. And you know, with a site like this, so there's, you know, trash, garbage. What's the concern? Like, what kind of dangers are there for a watershed? We're right above a river, I guess we should point out. So, I mean, this stuff could easily find its way all over the place.
Exactly. So that is the main concern, I guess, is that if the water comes up or something knocks these items into the river, like microplastics is a huge concern as well. And it's just a hazard for water quality and the safety of animals. Like in the woods, we find there's a lot of like household garbage. And today we saw like a lot of coyote tracks and some pelts, and it's easy for an animal to get injured or hurt or disturb the quality of the environment and, you know, cause a lot of havoc. It ain't good.
Right. You know, there's a fair number of large objects here. It's not just, you know, what kind of stuff, I mean, today, what would you say the most common thing you found was?
Oh, a lot of smaller plastics under the bridge. We were at a site before this. There was a lot of wood there.
TVs, chairs.
Old car parts.
Yes, a lot of just people's household trash that they didn't put out with the garbage and at the curb.
Yeah,
a lot of food items, a lot of Ensure bottles.
A lot of clothes too, and just household items.
Yeah. Really, so stuff that probably could have even been reused.
Probably,
For sure, We had a Christmas tree on another day with some children toys and just all sorts of stuff.
Stuff could have been donated or, you know, properly thrown out with the weekly trash. Yeah. I don't understand why it needs to be thrown down a ravine or under a bridge if we have municipal garbage cleanup. Why are we doing this?
It might be easier to dump it out, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite heavy. Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
So my name is Brittany Cormier. I work as a project lead with the Petit Kodiak Watershed Alliance, the local friendly non-for-profit environmental organization based out of Moncton, but we work within the topographic area of the Petit Kodiak Watershed. So any part of land that the rain will wash into the Petit Kodiak River is our office, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. And you mentioned the name of this creek here. Where are we here today?
So we're at an upstream location of Jonathan Creek, which is one of our main tributaries. If you go into Centennial Park, you're more familiar with that area of the creek. But this will drain into the Petit Kodiak River. So it is also tidal influenced to a certain point. The tidal bore pushes up the river twice a day and it will reach up to where we are now. So the tide, as you can see on the banks, reaches quite high at this point too.
Yeah, it's got the classic fundy tidal river muddy.
Yeah, yeah, that chocolatey aesthetic, you know what I mean? So as the rain washes in, as the tide pushes back, there is a lot of water movement and water activity here. So it's really great to do cleanups in these areas, which is the riparian zone, the position where it's between water and land, because you don't want plastics and other debris kind of washing into the river, washing into the creek, and being within this movement of water, especially plastics. Yeah. So which have a long life.
This is one site, but the garbage from the site could end up anywhere in the watershed. Well, not anywhere, but all various places.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, depending on the traction, how big it is and how light, like some of these smaller plastics might end up being flowed all the way to the Bay of Fundy too. We're all connected that way. So yeah, best to get this stuff out of here. And especially where plastics have such a long life, like it's definitely best to dispose of it properly rather than just wait for it to kind of, yeah.
Have you worked with Fort Folly on any other cleanup sites?
This is, I think, our first collaboration on a cleanup site, but we've done a lot of different projects and environmental efforts together. We're not new to collaborating with Fort Folly. They're a really good friend and partner and amazing group who does incredible things. So we also work with them for a coastal restoration project, which is focusing more on the Memramcook River sub-watershed there. And the causeway there, kind of looking at it in a different light than before, much like our own Petit Kodiak Causeway, in which it's just been replaced with a bridge,
right,
which is very exciting. And that project is also with the Petit Kodiak Riverkeeper, or Les Sentinelles, who also told us about this site. All environmental groups around these regions really work together, and we're better that way too. Lots of work to do.
Is there a message you'd like to send out to people who are listening if they come across even a small site garbage when they're in the wilds, or even, I guess, I mean, this is the reality is it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the woods or if you're in a city or a town. This sort of stuff needs to get picked up, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Dispose of your waste properly at home first, and then when you go on a walk, if you see anything like milk cartons where they're not supposed to be, some plastic wrappers or takeaway trash. We've all seen it doing our, you know, daily walks or maybe even hiking. If everyone does their part to kind of take this out of nature where it shouldn't be and dispose of it properly in the ways that are set out for us, it can really make a difference. Like I said, we are at war with plastics a little bit, as they do break down into microplastics, and we don't know the impacts that they have on wildlife, on water quality, and on us humans. So it does really make a difference if you can get as much as you can out of these areas and let Eco360 and other places that have these methods in place to properly dispose of them do that instead. And everyone can do their part to take up a little bit as they go, or, you know, let one of our groups also know so that we might be able to help and, you know, collaborate and coordinate something a bit bigger to make a bigger impact. But yeah.
Anything else I should ask?
I don't think so. I think that's amazing. Thank you so much for coming out. And I'm going to deep dive back in there.
Go for it.
Thank you so much.
You heard voices from the Fort Folly Habitat Recovery and the Petitcodiac Watershed Alliance as they spent an afternoon cleaning up a dump site on the shore of Johnson's Creek in Moncton. As of August 19th, Fort Folly field technicians and collaborators have picked up over 1,500 kilograms worth of garbage from the Petitcodiac watershed. That's it for the Tanchamar Report this week. Get in touch with any leads, tips, or feedback at news@chmafm.com. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.